Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Do hope you're having a great Monday morning, actually a Tuesday morning, my calendar. Okay, hold on, here we go. There we go. Now it says Tuesday, June 11th. Thank you very much. Just checking. Want to make sure you are awake. So much to talk about this morning. I don't know where to begin. My head is spinning about all of this. Let me tell you, it's never a dull moment. Usually when you get to the summertime, it's a little bit slow. We're looking for stories together. Not the case this time around. We are constantly changing our rundown, as we call it in the biz, to accommodate the breaking news that is very, very important to all of us as believers, especially in the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. It's pretty amazing in terms of what's going on and all the news. So on the good front, the Vatican yesterday issued a sweeping document, a very strong document, denouncing gender theory, affirming the principles of human dignity, difference, and male-female complementarity. And so that's how we're regrouping our whole show. We were going to have author Colleen Carroll Campbell on with us regarding her latest book, but we've moved that, and we are going to have Dr. Janet Smith from right in our own backyard, of course, Sacred Heart Major Seminary. She's also a noted theologian and Vatican consultant, and she has a lot to say about this and a great background in understanding what's happening in the culture and in the church, and many who are thinking that this is just fine, many in the church, all this transgender and gender theory ideology. But it's a very strong, and I thought it was a very clear statement. And, of course, as you could guess, there's a lot of negative reaction to it out there in the culture, and even in some among the church, including the famous Father Martin, who's saying that this is going to hurt the LGBT community. I don't see how truth and making a statement that they're not going to and will not and have not used church teaching to bully or discriminate against anyone. That's pretty clear. It's in the catechism, and that's always been the case of the church. So how you can say that truth is being used somehow as a battering ram is just beyond even reality to me. But that's what some are saying, because that's all they have to defend themselves and stand up for what they believe and what they think is true, which is not objective truth. So we'll take a look at this in detail with Dr. Janet Smith. That's coming up in the National Hour. We're also going to take a look at some of the incredible lies and spin that the left is doing in order to defend abortion through 9 months and beyond. It's just, I've never seen anything like this, I told Andrew. I've sent him a clip that we're going to be running at 8:15 of a radical feminist who is right out there, says, it's killing. Abortion is killing, but she has no problem with it. And at the same time, and this is where Father Frank Bivol mentioned that he's going to be on with us this morning at the bottom of the hour, maybe even earlier because there's so much to cover. He says that the way people speak about this is why you have to come up with all this different language, because even if you are not a Christian, recognizing the dignity of the human person, natural law, your conscience does not allow you to just blatantly call for killing. Now, this woman said she supports it and she recognizes that it's killing, but at the same time, she's twisting and she comes up with all this new phraseology that I never heard of before. I mean, I'm watching this video and I'm thinking, does she even hear herself? And then we have Maine. Leaders in Maine think it's a good idea to allow nurses and physicians' assistants to perform abortions. Doesn't have to be a doctor anymore. Now, I realize that PAs perform minor procedures in doctors' offices, but we're talking about surgery here. And we're talking about a surgery that often leads to complications, especially, God help us, when you have a later-term abortion. And this is all about health care. Nobody's questioning what happens if there's an emergency situation, what happens if there's hemorrhaging, which often occurs, what happens if there's a puncture to the uterus, which often occurs. I don't mean to be gross, but this is the reality of the situation. They make it sound so great. Oh, more access. And this is about health care? Really? This is health care? And this is freedom for women? So there's story after story of just shocking claims from the pro-abortion side on this issue, and it just keeps getting more and more bizarre. So we're going to be talking with, in addition to Father Frank Bivone in the first hour, after we do the interview with Janet in the second hour, Dr. Janet Smith, we'll be checking in with our friends at the wonderful Charlotte Lozier Institute. They're the research arm of the Susan B. Anthony List. And we'll take a look at some other ridiculous statements that the left has made about pro-lifers, that we're all a bunch of racists, which is just crazy, because the number one race that's affected by abortion that we're trying to protect are African-American brothers and sisters. Number two are Hispanic brothers and sisters. So if we're so racist, why are we worried about abortion? It's beyond, I mean, there's no logic anymore. Logic is thrown out the window 50 years ago with Roe v. Wade. But anyway, if you just look at this stuff and you say, where does it end? And how far are they going to go? Now they're saying, you know, they're talking about the Hyde Amendment and they're trying to defend Joe Biden's flip-flop. And they continue to call us racist, and yet the Hyde Amendment, because of the number of abortion performed on African-American women, protects, is there to protect our brothers and sisters in that community. It's just unbelievable. So it's going to be an interesting show. Phone lines are open, 877-573-7825. So in 2 cents, I'm going to play you that clip that I mentioned of this woman, this author, so-called author, and extremely radical feminist. I'd love to hear from you on this once you hear it. I've also posted it on Facebook. Huge response. I think I had, I don't know how many views and close to 100 comments. And people are like, what? What? It's demonic. It really is. All right. 877-573-7825. And then a story in the news, which I find another story very interesting. And this is where you stop and think, okay, don't they hear themselves? You have these animal activists out in Utah that are upset because there's a threat, apparently, to horses and mules and other animals that are running wild. And they're concerned that they're going to be killed. Okay, fine. I don't have a problem with that. I love animals. I don't have a problem with you standing up and saying, look, we can protect them. We don't have to wipe them out. And yet, they make these statements that they can be cared for. We can feed them. We can make sure they're okay. They can thrive. These are horses we're talking about. Beautiful creatures. Majestic creatures, yes, but they're not human beings. So where's the same passion for children, for humans? A lot to talk about today, folks. Never a dull moment. Again, 877-573-7825. Good news on the weather front. The monsoon looks like it finally moved out. Mamma mia, it was like a rainy fall day yesterday. Finally cleared up later in the day. Let's take a look and see what the forecast is going to be bringing us. If you're heading up north early, plenty of sunshine, a high of 72. Tomorrow, periods of rain, a high of 68. Let's see, Thursday, some showers in the morning, and then cloudy in the afternoon, a high of 60. Still very cool, though, for June. Friday, partly cloudy, a high of only 66. All right, so that's for up north. If we go to the Thumb area, Saginaw Bay City and Flint, sunny, comfortable but cool, 77. Tomorrow, overcast, high of 76, a more normal temps, a little bit south. And on Thursday, rain and a high of only around 60. Looking at the weekend, a high of 71, a mixture of clouds and sun. Going over to the western part of the state, partly cloudy, and a high of 74. Tomorrow, cloudy, light rain, back down to 69. On Thursday and Friday, rain and a high in the mid-60s. Okay, let's go to central Michigan. Shall we? Sunshine, high 76, cloudy, cooler, low 70s, more the same on Thursday, and then on Friday, partly cloudy, and then a high of 71. Wayne, Oakland, Macomb, and Washtenaw counties, high of 77 today, so that's nice, pushing 80, about 78 degrees. Mixture of clouds and sun tomorrow, then cloudy, 76. On Thursday, cool again, rain, 64, and on Friday, mixture of clouds and sun, a little bit warmer, but still cool for June. Eventually, summer will get here, hopefully by the time it's officially on the calendar, and a high of 72 degrees. More of the same for our friends in southern Michigan and northwestern Ohio. Sunny and a high of 77, partly cloudy tomorrow, and a stray shower or thunderstorm, a high of 76. And on Thursday, showers High of 62 Friday. Sunny skies for you and a high of 73 degrees. Other parts of the country, by the way, in Arkansas and California, if you're listening online, they're struggling with heat waves. So that's a different twist that we don't have here, but that can be very dangerous as well. And otherwise, not too bad, pretty normal temperatures around the country. Already 8:11, it is a Tuesday morning. It's June 11th, 2019. You're listening to Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Let's take a look at the news and see what's happening. Buckle your seatbelts. It's going to be an interesting ride this morning. Well, the Vatican issuing a sweeping denunciation of so-called gender theory and affirming the principles of human dignity, difference, and complementarity. The document says in all such theories, from the most moderate to the most radical, there is agreement that one's gender ends up being viewed as more important than being male or female. This is according to the document from the Congregation for Catholic Education, released on June 10th, entitled Male and Female, He Created Them. They go on to say the effect of this move is chiefly to create a culture and ideological revolution driven by relativism and secondarily a revolution since such beliefs claim specific rights for the individual and across society. The document says it aims to set out intellectual framework toward a path of dialogue on the question of gender theory in education. As Catholic News Agency reports, it was published at the very beginning of Pride Month, during which many cities and corporations marked the campaign of LGBT advocacy, the document saying that the Church teaches an essential difference between men and women ordered in the natural law and essential to the family and human flourishing. There is a need to reaffirm, it says, the metaphysical roots of sexual difference as an anthropological refutation of attempts to negate the male-female duality of human nature from which the family is generated. Cardinal Burke and Bishop Athanasius Schneider are among a small group of cardinals and bishops signing a declaration of truths reaffirming key church teachings at a time they describe as almost universal doctrinal confusion and disorientation. Published yesterday, Pentecost Monday, entitled Declaration of the Truths Relating to Some of the Most Common Errors in the Life of the Church of Our Time, the National Catholic Register explains the 8-page document reaffirming the Church's perennial teaching on a range of key doctrines, from the Eucharist and marriage to capital punishment and clerical celibacy. The document is the latest in a series of declarations, petitions, and corrections from bishops, academics, priests, and laity very concerned about the ambiguity of teaching and associated confusion that have arisen during the current pontificate. In other news this morning, Maine's Democratic governor signing an abortion bill into law yesterday that allows medical professionals who are not doctors to perform the procedure. Governor Janet Mills signing the measure expanding abortion access, which she introduced herself, formally going to effect in about 3 months after lawmakers adjourn around September. Now, supporters say the current legislation restricted access to abortion, while opponents believe it will increase risk for women and lead to more abortions. Meanwhile, Brian Shook tells us Missouri's only abortion clinic will stay open for now.
A St. Louis judge granted a preliminary injunction to keep the Planned Parenthood clinic in St. Louis from closing after the state refused to renew its license last month. The state's health department has to make a decision on the facility's license by June 21st, when there will be a hearing on the matter. If the clinic eventually closes, Missouri will be the only state where there are no clinics that perform abortions.
Several bishops and other church leaders have said they will return money given to them by retired West Virginia Bishop Michael Bransfield, who is accused of sexually harassing or coercing seminarians and young priests, while also misusing diocesan funds on a lavish lifestyle and 5-figure gifts to churchmen in leadership positions. The bishops are gathering in Baltimore this week for their annual spring meeting. The Southern Baptist Convention's annual meeting getting underway today in Alabama, the largest Protestant denomination holding its meeting today and tomorrow. Several important issues expected to be addressed, but sexual abuse within the church is expected to be the main focus. The Southern Baptist Convention's executive committee looking at changes to the Constitution and bylaws to hold its network churches accountable for keeping churchgoers safe. Noam Layden explains the helicopter pilot killed in Monday's Midtown crash had thousands of hours of experience.
friends and co-workers say Tim McCormick knew the rules of flying around in Manhattan, and they believe when his chopper failed him Monday that he sacrificed his safety so others would not be hurt. 58-year-old was a volunteer firefighter with two departments in Dutchess County. Friends say he was married with kids and grandchildren.
A Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy is in the hospital after being shot in the head last night while off duty. It happened at a Jack in the Box in Alhambra, California. Authorities say the suspect approached the deputy who was waiting at the counter and then opened fire. He then fled the scene and is still on the run. Here's a story I mentioned earlier, folks. Wildlife activists are protesting proposals that could lead to the death of thousands of wild horses and burros. Kristen Bullock was one of about 30 activists who stood on the front steps of the Utah State Capitol yesterday protesting the Bureau of Land Management and Utah Congressman Chris Stewart.
Wild horses are not starving, that there are mares and foals out there on the herd management areas that are thriving and doing well.
The Bureau says there's an overpopulation problem on rangeland in the West, and Stewart supported removing language from federal guidelines that prevented the BLM from putting down wild horses and donkeys. The Bureau wants to remove thousands of the animals from public lands, but activists believe that could eventually lead to the animals being put to death. I don't have any problem with them protesting. I'm sure you don't either. But what I do have a problem is the disconnect in our world today, where people can express such concern about animals, and yet those of us who express concern about children, human beings, are called racist and radical, oppressive, anti-woman, and you know the rest of the story. All right, moving right along, excessive heat waves remain in effect today through Thursday for parts of California and Arizona, as I mentioned earlier at the top of the hour. Meteorologist Bill Caron says around 38 million people are feeling the effects of that heat wave.
Some of the hottest temperatures, as you expect, in the desert southwest. It's going to be about 110 in Phoenix. L.A. not too bad at 91, but look at Sacramento and Fresno at about 103, and that heat continues all the way into the Pacific Northwest.
The heat could keep moving north later in the week, possibly bringing record highs to parts of Oregon and warming the Seattle area much more than usual. The heat is contributing to the fire danger in the southwest, and crews are battling multiple wildfires in California and Arizona. The Small Business Optimism Index for April is up, hitting a seven-month high. The National Federation of Independent Businesses reporting sales improved in April after being soft in March. Job creation plans are up, hiring is strong, expectation for sales, business conditions, and credit conditions all improving. The Federation says the nation's small and independent businesses are bouncing back from a slow first quarter. Mark Mayfield explains that Tyson Foods is recalling over 190,000 pounds of chicken products over concerns they could contain plastic.
Two customers reportedly found clear plastic and soft gray plastic inside the company's Golden Crispy Chicken Chunk Fritters. Tyson says the products weren't sold in retail stores and that they're working with the food service companies that receive them. The chicken was shipped to 29 different states.
And a Michigan man is in jail after his, get this, 14th drunk driving arrest. Lucian Herbert's drunk driving problem dates back to 1982. He was arrested driving a moped over the weekend. Utica Police Chief, which if you're not from this area, is north of Detroit, a lovely suburb north of Detroit. The police chief there was asked why the man wasn't behind bars.
That's on the going to be on the court system ultimately, you know, and where that falls. If he's been complying with whatever sentencing guidelines that have been put in place, probationary issues, then ultimately that's what puts him back on the street.
Herbert's blood alcohol level in his weekend arrest was .21, nearly three times the legal limit. And finally, in our news segment today on a Tuesday morning, Elisa Z explains how one Minnesota police officer is serving his community with a lawnmower.
Orono Police Officer Matt Siltalo responded recently to a call asking him to check on the welfare of an elderly woman. After seeing the woman was okay, he asked her why her lawn was so overgrown, and she said she just doesn't have anybody to mow it, at which point he grabbed her mower and cut the front yard. A department staffer commented on Facebook saying he's proud of his colleague, also joking and saying he doesn't know why another officer who took a picture of the good deed didn't pick up a trimmer and help out too.
It is just about 8:19 on a Tuesday morning. Phone lines are open if you'd like to share your thoughts on some of the crazy stories out there and how the left just keeps losing its mind and making up different languages, it seems, a completely different language when it comes to abortion in order to make themselves sound humane, if that's even possible, 877-573-7825. And now close to 200 businesses are saying that all these abortion bans are bad for them. So how is killing your potential customers bad, you know, good for you? They say it's bad for business. Well, I would think that killing off customers would be bad for business, but what do I know? Oh, there's that story. I mentioned the feminists that we're going to hear from. There's a story out of Maine where the governor thinks it's a good idea there to allow nurse practitioners and, let's see, OPAs to do abortions. Can't get any information as to how far along a woman has to be in terms of her pregnancy for the PA and the nurse to take over versus an MD. But remember, it's all about health care. Trying to think what else stories I have for you. Well, that's probably enough for 2 cents, yours and mine. We'll take a look at these stories and your comments, if you so choose, when we come back on a Tuesday.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you with who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent agent. Get Choice Insurance Agency, representing auto owners insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. Call Greg at Choice Insurance at 734-641-4200, who will protect you in that moment. Call 734-641-4200.
Beacon Skin and Surgeries is a comprehensive dermatology center on the border of Troy and Rochester Hills, south of M59, and in Dearborn, west of Telegraph. Beacon Skin and Surgeries perform full skin exams and focus on the diagnosis and treatment of all types of skin cancer and precancerous lesions. All are board-certified dermatologists and fellowship-trained surgeons. Call 248-852-1900. Beacon Skin and Surgeries, a beacon for patient care. 248-852-1900.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Our individual and corporate relationships with the Lord, our relationship to the church, the precepts of the church, our relationships with the world and the culture that surrounds us. Father Ricardo discusses these things and more, all from a Catholic perspective on Christ is the answer. Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the answer.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. You can't make this stuff up. Blah, 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 blah. I'm serious. Every time I turn around, there's something else that I just look at. Where do these people come up with this stuff? But I guess, as Father Frank Pavone, who will be joining us momentarily after the break, always says, you can't practice vice virtuously. So therefore, you have to make up excuses. You have to invent new language, whether it's, what was the term they came up for fetal heartbeat, embryonic pulsing, or whether it's choice versus the word child. It's just incredible how far and the leaps that the abortionist and those who support them will jump through in order to make their point. And then everybody jumps on the bandwagon. Everybody jumps on the crazy bandwagon, including businesses. We'll get to that in a minute. I first simply have to play for you this story of this feminist author who is so concerned. She's from overseas. She's from Europe. I believe she's from Great Britain or Ireland. Not sure which area of Great Britain she's from, but she has an English accent. Anyway, she has written this horrible book against family, so it's no surprise where she stands. But what I want you to listen to is the nervousness in her voice and the way she is trying to explain the development of the child in the womb, recognizing that it's a child, but at the same time saying that the killing is justified. We'll talk about that, and then I'll share with you this story that I've also posted on Facebook regarding these business owners who put an ad in the New York Times yesterday, 180 companies, including Ben and Jerry's and a few others that are familiar, some I didn't even recognize, saying how these abortion bans around the country are bad for business. So again, I don't know how killing people is good for business, but what do I know? And then, of course, there's a response, the negative pushback that the church is getting, surprise, surprise, regarding this document that came out yesterday affirming male and female as God ordained us, of course, in marriage, and the fact that we're made in his image and likeness, very clear, male and female. And you can't just make up your gender as you go along. There is this constant, if you get it, pushback against truth. This clip from this woman is probably one of the most egregious, but take a listen.
We're facing a really terrifying attack on abortion in the US, where I live, in Northern Ireland and elsewhere. In the past, the strategies that our side has tended to use have included a kind of ceding of ground to our enemies. We tend to say that abortion is indeed very bad, but, or we say, luckily it's not killing, luckily it's just a healthcare right. We have very little to lose at the moment when it comes to abortion, and I'm interested in winning radically. And I wonder if we could think about defending abortion as a right to stop doing gestational work. Abortion is, in my opinion, and I recognize how controversial this is, a form of killing. It is a form of killing that we need to be able to defend. I am not interested in where a human life starts to exist. I see the forms of making and unmaking each other as sort of continuous processes. The other end of the spectrum is the process of learning how to die well and hold each other and let each other go at the end of our lives as well as at the beginning. But looking at the biology of this kind of hemochorial placentation helps me think about the violence that innocently a fetus meets out vis-a-vis a gestator. And that violence is an unacceptable violence for someone who doesn't want to do gestational work. The violence that gestator meets out to essentially go on strike or exit that workplace is an acceptable violence.
I don't even know what to say. It is just chilling. And she's sitting there. If you see this interview, and you can watch it on my Facebook page, at Mrs. Teresa Tomeo, she's smiling nervously when she's saying all this. Making and unmaking a continuous process. Well, no, it's not a continuous process if you end the process of life. I've never heard anything so bizarre in terms of the language and twisting oneself into a pretzel to justify abortion. And she's talking about being from Ireland. They just passed sweeping pro-abortion laws. How is it under attack there? When is it going to be enough? You've had abortion legal in the United States through 9 months of pregnancy for almost 50 years, and we're still debating it, so obviously it's not settled law. Not to mention the thousands and thousands and thousands of men and women that have come forward saying that abortion was not the right answer. Not to mention what the Supreme Court justices, the famous quote regarding if we ever find out, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have it in front of me, that it's an actual life in the womb, then the whole thing implodes, the whole argument implodes, because they're protected by the Constitution. This is what we are seeing in our world today. This is how radical and really evil and something that makes absolutely no sense, talking out of both sides of her mouth, as if abortion is a beautiful thing. Comparing it to, you know, graciously exiting. I'm sure she supports assisted suicide as well, although I haven't heard that from her yet. But this is Sophie Lewis, an author from Great Britain living now and working in the U.S., defending the unborn and admitting that it's killing. But it's a justifiable killing because she's really not interested in where life begins or ends because it's a continuous process. Alrighty then. Then you have these business owners placing a huge ad, signing this letter and asking other business owners to do so, saying that abortion is bad news, these abortion bans. It should be abortion is bad news to them because you're killing off clientele. You would think that makes sense, right? Less people, less consumers to buy your products. I don't know. Hey, I had Econ 101 in college. I got an A in it. Maybe it's because I love to shop. I don't know. But I'm thinking that the more people that are around, the better off your business will do because at least you have an outreach. But if you continue to kill people off, need I say more? All right. You have to read the comments on my Facebook pages. They're really, really strong from my followers. Really good points that they make. This is posted as well there at Mrs. Teresa Tomeo. More than 180 business owners, including Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, signing a letter protesting restrictive abortion legislation and publishing a full-page ad in the New York Times. Business owners banded together to stand up for reproductive health care by posting the ad in Monday's print edition titled Don't Ban Equality. Equality for whom? As I said in my Facebook page. Which says abortion bans are bad for business. Signers include Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, as well as business owners of Yelp, H&M, Slack, Postmates, Bloomberg LP, and a number of others. I mentioned Ben and Jerry. Let's see. But they're not responding to a request for comment from conservative outlets, including the Daily Caller News Foundation, as to why this was the case. The ad itself lists around 80 of the 180 business leaders who signed on to the letter. Equality in the workplace is one of the most important business issues of our time, the ad reads. When everyone is empowered to succeed, our companies, our communities, and our economy are better for it. How about when people are empowered to raise their families well and to support women in an unplanned or a crisis pregnancy situation? As opposed to thinking that sending her down the street to the local abortion mill is the best response. Restricting access to comprehensive reproductive health care. This is such a bunch of baloney. It's not comprehensive reproductive health care. Again, I'll say this till I'm blue in the face. There's nothing reproductive about abortion or healthy about it either. Not for the mother or especially the baby. Especially when you hear about states like Maine that are allowing non-MDs to do abortions. And then you look at Missouri, where a clinic, a so-called clinic, is allowed to operate without a license, threatens the health, independence, and economic stability of our employees and our customers. This is nuts. It's just the opposite. This is deflection and projection to the nth degree. And everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid. Dear Lord. We, the undersigned, employ more than 108,000 workers and stand against policies that hinders people's health, independence, and ability to fully succeed in the workplace. Well, that's pretty sexist, guys. So the only way a woman can succeed in the workplace is by killing her children. Are you telling men to encourage their wives and their girlfriends to have abortions? Why is it that women are put in this situation and men don't have to worry about it? You talk about sexism and inequality? What a bunch of nonsense. The ad also says the abortion bans put the economy, families, communities, and businesses at risk. And Don't Ban Equality Coalition. Equality, my foot. What do you care about families? You want less people around. Look, I'm not going to apologize for my anger this morning. It's a righteous anger. This is just totally out of control. And if we as pro-lifers, especially Catholic Christians who have such a huge body of teaching and clarity on this issue, if we don't get off our behinds and get really involved in this election, then I don't know what to tell you. Then don't come crying to me in 2 years when a lot of us are behind bars because of speaking the truth, because we didn't get out there, enough of us didn't get out there and vote life. If you're hearing this now, what do you think is going to happen if we don't vote pro-life? Like that one woman who wrote me, I was just climbing the walls, talk about a head-exploding moment, that she didn't know she could vote for a particular candidate because she didn't like him. As if she's going to go out to lunch with him or date him. As Father Frank says, you don't have to like your mechanic or your doctor or your dentist if they are qualified to do the work and get the job done, even if they may not have the best bedside manner or maybe at times a big bull in a china shop. And yet, I don't like him. He bothers me. Really? And this is what we're basing decisions on. When the world is falling apart and babies are being slaughtered and women are being maimed and society is suffering continuously. But that's fine because we don't like somebody. All right. As Father Frank would say, another Italian-American head exploding moment. We'll be right back.
Today you heard a lot of this.
Republicans and Democrats argue over fiscal spending.
But when's the last time you heard this? What would happen if we slowed down enough to be able to hear God speak to us, to meet you where you are? UnleashTheGospel.org gives you a chance to do just that. In the midst of everything, visit UnleashTheGospel.org. Stories to inspire you, resources to encounter, grow, and witness.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matty and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Our topics during Cresta in the Afternoon toggle between church teaching and then using that teaching to shine a light on our world. We'll look at Christ and culture, church and world, religion and public life, from abortion to Zechariah and everything in between. Biblical criticism, Hollywood productions, academic debate, family and love, prayer and spirituality.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world.
Calgon, take me away. That's what I feel like right now. Another Italian-American head-exploding moment. I've been having tons of them. Father has been trying to keep my head together enough so I could get Catholic View for Women done last week, which we somehow managed to do despite all the craziness, and it continues. Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priester Life, author, speaker, and been on the front lines of the pro-life movement for decades. Father, you know what's happening this morning. Andrew's looking for some sound effects to describe how I'm feeling. There we go. Play it again, Andrew. That's my head exploding. I can't take it anymore. It's out of control.
It's out of control. People need to realize this. They need to realize this. And we need to just keep going back to basic truths, common sense, which is not common enough, and we need to be louder than the other side.
All right, so a couple of things. First of all, now, as I was telling my listeners, I took one econ class when I was at Central Michigan University because it was required in the basic classes that you had to take. I did pretty well in it. I guess it's because I love to shop and I get supply and demand. But apparently, business owners don't, at least those business owners who have signed this letter saying that the abortion bans are bad for business, because according to them, killing off your clientele, potential clientele, is apparently okay.
Yeah, you know, at the root of economy, and this is where, you know, if we're going to look at this from church teaching, again, a document that I always promote is the Compendium of the Social Doctrine of the Church. We often think about the Catechism, but another document about all the church's social teaching is called the Compendium. It's a book. Cardinal Martino, one of our advisors at Priests for Life, was responsible under John Paul II for bringing this document to its completion. And if you just Google Compendium of the Catholic of the Social Doctrine of the Church, you'll see it. And they have a whole section, of course, on the economy, and it points out that the foundation of the economy is the human person. I mean, the greatest asset that any economy has is people, and of course, then that translates into your children. If you introduce a policy of killing children, there is no way that that can be good for the economy. As a matter of fact, it would be nice if these business people who signed this ad would bother to go research the studies that have been done on the adverse impact of abortion on the economy, because studies like that have been done. Not enough of them, but they do exist. Now,
and how is that, Father? Explain the connection so people understand.
Well, simply because you're getting rid of the most valuable resource to any economy, which is people. And so you abort children in a large enough measure, and eventually the natural balance is going to be lost between those who are older and eventually retire and eventually are not able to work versus those who come along after them, who are supposed to then be sustaining the economy. If we you know, one of the mistakes of abortion is you're thinking of the child just as a consumer and not also as a producer. But that child is going to bring good into the economy. They're going to be workers. They're going to be, you know, generating goods and services and so forth. But there's another dimension to it, too, because as we study the long-term damaging effects of abortion, what it does, one of the things an abortion does, when you've made a decision, it's not like you're making a free decision, most of these decisions are not free, but when you end up having an abortion, you're destroying your own self-esteem, your own sense of confidence, your own sense of self, your own hope in the future, your own relationships. And what that means is that the person who does this then engages in more self-destructive behavior.
Right.
And then two things, and relationships break down, marriages break down, and then two things happen. Number one, you're increasing the cost of health care, because now you're bringing more wounds, you're bringing more damage, you're bringing more disease into society. But number two is, a person who's had an abortion, and again, we're talking in broad strokes here, the overall direction of what happens, people are less able to plan for their future. They're less confident in making career decisions. They're less able to sustain a productive work life. And a lot of them just, you end up going crazy to one extent or another, unable to function properly. And this has an impact. Again, when you look at, we're talking about tens of millions of people that have done this, that has an impact on the economy, because it has an impact on the ability of people to be productive members of society.
The one quote that really got to me, as a woman and someone who considers herself a new feminist, they said in this ad, that in this letter that they signed, these execs, "We the undersigned employ more than 108,000 workers and stand against policies that hinders people's health, independence, and ability to fully succeed in the workplace." Now, I find this last part of it very sexist, ability to fully succeed in the workplace. So what they're saying is women need to kill their children in order to succeed in the workplace. It's pretty sexist to me. Are men being asked to make those kinds of decisions when they find out that their girlfriend or their wife is expecting?
Right. Well, and you know, it's interesting you quoted that line just in the light of what I was just saying, because they have
right.
it exactly topsy-turvy.
Exactly. It's the opposite. It's projection.
It's abortion
yeah.
that is damaging. Yeah. But even if, last resort on this, even if you could show that what they're saying is true, which it isn't, the end doesn't justify the means. You don't kill people in order to try to bring an economy back into where you think it should be.
Right.
Otherwise, you can kill anybody. If you can kill these children, you can kill anybody. And that's, in fact, where this mindset goes.
Exactly, as the case with this author that I'm going to play for you, this interview that this PhD Sophie Lewis. She's from overseas, from Great Britain, and now based in Philadelphia, where she writes on, you know, feminist teachings and whatnot. Not true feminism, but feminism according to her line of thinking, if you could even call it thought. Let's play this interview she did talking about abortion and defending the fact that it is actual killing.
We're facing a really terrifying attack on abortion in the US, where I live, in Northern Ireland and elsewhere. In the past, the strategies that our side has tended to use have included a kind of ceding of ground to our enemies. We tend to say that abortion is indeed very bad, but, or we say, luckily it's not killing. Luckily it's just a healthcare right. We have very little to lose at the moment when it comes to abortion, and I'm interested in winning radically. And I wonder if we could think about defending abortion as a right to stop doing gestational work. Abortion is, in my opinion, and I recognize how controversial this is, a form of killing. It is a form of killing that we need to be able to defend. I am not interested in where a human life starts to exist. I see the forms of making and unmaking each other as sort of continuous processes. The other end of the spectrum is the process of learning how to die well and hold each other and let each other go at the end of our lives as well as at the beginning. But looking at the biology of this kind of hemochorial placentation helps me think about the violence that innocently a fetus meets out vis-a-vis a gestator. And that violence is an unacceptable violence for someone who doesn't want to do gestational work. The violence that that gestator meets out to essentially go on strike or exit that workplace is an acceptable violence.
What? I don't even know what to say. My head, it's exploding again and again and again. Go ahead, your thoughts. Thank you.
There it is. Very good. Look, first of all, in my opinion, abortion is killing. I mean, in your opinion, Teresa, what's an appendectomy? In your opinion, what is a heart transplant?
Right.
Is this really subject to our opinion? They want to say that this is part of medical care. They want to say it's a medical procedure carried out by a physician. They want medical students to be trained in abortion, and they're expressing opinions about what it is. This is not a matter of opinion. You want to know what an abortion is? Go to the medical textbooks and read about it. It's dismemberment, it's decapitation. Those are words that the abortion medical textbooks use. It is the ending of an individual human life. That's exactly why the procedure has to be performed, because the person doesn't want the human life that's living within her. So first of all, you know, she's on the wrong track right there, but by saying it's a matter of her opinion. Now, her opinion that she expressed happens to be the fact, but what I'm pointing out is, nobody has the right to a different alternate set of facts, because there aren't any.
But that's our whole world today, though. It's the same thing with,
right,
for example, the situation with the transgender push now, and this is what the Vatican document is saying, is they're making up, and this ideology is making up an alternate reality, and that's what we have right now.
Yeah. So, now, she goes on to say, well, it's killing, but it's justified killing. You know, pro-abortion people have been saying that for a long time, too. I mean, it's basically two different kinds of pro-abortion people. Well, the type that will try to deny that it's killing, and the type that will say, well, it's justified killing. Okay. So, but then she justifies it in a way that whether the argument she's using or anybody else uses, if you justify it, you justify too much. Because if you justify the killing of the baby in the womb because, well, the gestator doesn't have to do the gestational work, and the fetus, although not intending to, is exercising innocently an act of violence. Well, you say the same thing about the newborn. you know, this mom is going crazy, this toddler is out of control, or this newborn is out of control, she's suffering anxiety, you can't expect her to do, throw the child out the window, drown the child in the lake. God forbid. But if you're justifying killing that child by abortion, you're using the same argument.
But Father, who speaks like that? This whole idea of gestational work.
Right.
The whole language like, choice that she's using. She's trying to sound, I'm educated, I'm a PhD, I'm so much smarter, and this is what we're referring to. And the unmaking of the life is a continuous process. I'm not interested in when life begins.
They try to make themselves sound so smart, but they're
don't insult our intelligence. What a crock. I'm just so sick of it. I mean, really?
Well,
this is why we have to put things out there and let people know what we are up against.
And you know, what doesn't help in all this is also, I was mentioning to you this letter I saw in the Register.
Oh, yeah.
This week of June 9th. Okay, so this author says, 2020 and church teaching, they thank the Register, which I do too, for doing such a good job. They tell us about the candidates and whatnot. They put abortion front and center as an issue to be determined where these candidates stand. But then the author goes on to say, I was concerned that the article did not provide a fuller analysis of the candidates in the light of the full body of Catholic social teaching. And then he mentions the environment.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Health care. Okay, but then here's what the author says. Please keep in mind the full range of Catholic social teaching.
Well, first of all, the full range of Catholic social teaching, what about intrinsic evils? I mean, fine, we can debate climate change, we can debate health care, but we're not talking about intrinsic evil. Those are things that fall under prudential judgment. Am I correct?
And not only that, but that's right, and the bishops make this distinction. If you want to talk about church teaching, the bishops in the catechism, they're very clear in making this distinction that abortion is always wrong, but the catechism doesn't have a policy for health care or immigration or climate change. It simply doesn't. It talks about principles, but then legislators have to try to apply those principles. When it comes to abortion, the policy is the principle. I mean, you cannot kill the innocent. That's an absolute, and it's clear, and it's up and down. It's black and white. It's open or closed. Now, but the point I want to make is this. When a candidate says that he or she is in favor of abortion, and here increasingly we see them also in favor of infanticide, my friends, please understand something. That ends the argument. You don't go any further and ask about other things. Otherwise, it's like asking a terrorist, I disagree with you on terrorism, but what's your health care plan?
Yeah.
No. It ends the argument right there. No.
Well, I hope you're going to respond to that editorial because it needs a response. Father, thanks so much. We're out of time. We could have done a whole hour on what's happening right now. Father Frank Pavone will be back with us again next week for more head-exploding moments. Thank you very much. Stay tuned. More Catholic Connection coming up.